Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. Pastor Adam Burt here, wishing you a Merry Christmas. And as always, I hope you have your cup of joe. By the way, this is a prop this morning. It's all gone. I already drank about four of them, so I might be a little amped up. But I hope you have your cup of coffee, your Bible. You're ready to dig into the Word of God. Quick question that I need you to answer for me this morning is, do you have your Christmas tree up? So you better. And then here's an even more intense question that'll reveal much about the state of your soul. Do you use white Christmas lights or colored Christmas lights on your tree? Maybe you can put that into the chat. It will reveal something about your soul and your relationship with God. Just joking. But it's interesting that, you know, that this year that Christmas tree sales have skyrocketed. And many researchers believe that people are buying Christmas trees just so they can put them up in their home and somehow attempt to bring some semblance of happiness and joy into a year that has been very, very difficult. And so I guess the main question I want to answer today is this. What do you want from Christmas? What do you want from Christmas? And that's where we're going. But before we do that, we have to take up our tithe and our offering. And if I could, I would like to read again from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll look at verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." And so I just want to remind us of the story of Saint Nick. Like we talked about it a couple weeks back. You know, Saint Nick was a legit man of God, Saint Nicholas of Myra. And it's funny, Myra, it was a port city. And so Saint Nick, he became very influential amongst the mariners and the sailors, and so he became their pastor. And at one point, the Christmas story goes like this: is that there was a famine in the land, and so one of the grain carrying ships came into port, and Saint Nicholas says this. He says to the captain of the ship, he says, "If you give me a tenth of your grain, that I might help feed the poor and the hungry," he says, "God will care for you and you will have no lack in your ship." And sure enough, Saint Nick was revered. And so the merchant did that. And sure enough, by the time he got back to his port, somehow, some way, God miraculously restored the grain that was in that ship. So is that a cool story? And so God's promise to us as we give, that God is faithful to care for us. And so as you remain faithful in the tithe, I want to remind you as well of our Multiply Giving campaign. And so every year around this time, we like to take up special offerings that we might be a blessing in the earth. And we've just called this giving campaign Multiply. And if you remember, we're referencing the fact that the only miracle Jesus that's recorded by Jesus in every gospel, and that is the multiplying of the loaves and fishes, or the feeding of the 5,000. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but you know, every theologian believes it was actually he fed about 20,000 people. That's about the size of the Prudential Center. And how did Jesus do it? He took something very small, the offering of a little boy. And Jesus multiplied it to feed 20,000. You know, I was Googling it, and like, what's a kid's average allowance? And it said this. It said the average kid allowance is 30 bucks a week. That's 120 bucks a month. But how amazing is it? Is that if we could take something as small as a kid's allowance, if we would just give $120, and if 100 people did that, we would have raised $12,000 to make an impact. And so I don't know what you're able to give, But I do pray that you're able to give whatever loaves, fish, your child's allowance, whatever it might be, that you can give to our Multiply campaign. And here's what it's going to go to. It's to multiply the efforts. Number one, of half the proceeds are going to go to our church to help us push out the gospel and to help us with our online presence. You're currently watching this on my iPhone that I believe is 6 years old, and it's gas powered, and I'm praying the battery doesn't run out while I do this. And we need lighting, and this is all smoke and mirrors, but we're trusting God to multiply our increase our influence digitally. And then as well, we're raising money for New City Kids. It's an after-school program for at-risk youth, most of which are young children of color. And so we're just so excited to be able to partner and multiply their efforts. Here's just a little peek of what New City Kids is doing to make a difference in the earth. Roll the film.
Urban poverty is putting a generation of youth at risk. Violence, drugs, lack of higher education, and abuses of all kinds are rampant in poor urban areas. Across the U.S., children from 1st to 12th grade face great obstacles every day. Living in poverty puts even the brightest children at risk. Children who are not in after-school programming are 50% more likely to experiment with drugs and alcohol. Ultimately, only 9% of low-income students graduate college by 24. But there is hope. New City Kids breaks the cycle of poverty. Youth are challenged to see themselves as leaders and change makers, charting a new path both for themselves and for those who look up to them. New City Kids creates a community like no other through a network of after-school programs in urban communities. These centers serve children from 1st to 8th grade, fostering an environment where young people are loved, seen not as the problem, but the solution. We hire local high school students to teach music and to tutor younger children after school. We train our students, mentor them, tutor them, and pray for them every day. The results amaze everyone. Our teens find themselves surrounded by loving mentors in a safe and creative environment, and they flourish. Their grades improve. They gain self-confidence and joy. This new community, filled with music and fun, creates a window to a brighter future. New City Kids impacts high school students profoundly. Almost every senior we've employed has graduated high school, and New City Kids alumni are 10 times more likely to graduate college by the age of 24 than the average low-income student. New City Kids is changing lives, families, and communities. Join us today. Let's empower a generation of youth to break the cycle of poverty and make their cities new.
So is that incredible, like how New City Kids, they're making a difference in the earth, and what a joy it is to be able to partner with them and multiply their efforts. And so, as always, if you can give three ways, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. You can both give your tithe and to the Multiply campaign, or you can go to PushPay, just text the letters ENCNJ. To the number 77977, you can give that way. Or finally, you can mail in your tithe or your Multiply gift here to 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And as always, God bless you as you give. And so now we need to get rolling into the service here this morning. And listen, I'm excited to preach. And so I love the holiday season, especially this season after the 2020 that we've walked through. But I'm not sure if you've ever watched Jimmy Kimmel Live. I have not. I'm usually in my third dream by them. But he does do this segment around the holidays. And it's this, the late night show host, he does a segment that's just called "I Gave My Kids a Terrible Christmas Gift," and the challenge is to have parents wrap a just a junky Christmas gift and let their kids open it early and get it on videotape. Sounds cruel, probably is, but it is funny. and so if you watch some of these things, it's hysterical. Like this one little kid, he gets in and he unwraps this present, and what does he unwrap? It's a potato. And he's like, a potato? And he's just beside himself, and the mom goes, no, it's like Mr. Potato Head, right? and so this poor kid, I love another one. There's this little girl. She unwraps the package, and what does she get? Deodorant, except she has no idea what it is. And she's like, Mommy, what is it? And she says, it's deodorant. You put it under your arms. And so she starts to do this, and mom's like, do you like it? And she goes, yes. and so it's just hysterical, but my favorite by far, and I think we have an image of it, is this one little girl. She opens up her present, and what is it? It's a half-eaten peanut butter sandwich in a Tupperware container. And she looks up, and she's just like so distraught at her mom, and the mom goes, don't you like it? And she says, you told Mommy you always love her cooking. And then I love, in her cute little voice, she just says, I do love your cooking, but just when you cook real dinner, she says, real dinner, like Hot Pockets and chicken fingers. So it sounds like mom's the real gourmet chef, right? But and then there's a couple kids that aren't so funny, that lose their mind and become bitter at their parents. And for the record, as I'm watching these kids lose their mind, I feel like going like, that kid needs a spanking, and there's a part of me that would like to watch it, okay? But it was in those moments that I know probably aren't too godly that the Holy Spirit whispers to me, yeah, and you throw temper tantrums like that as well when you don't get what you want. And so the Holy Spirit got me on that one. But it's funny, my family and I, sometimes, you know, you have these romantic ideas about the holidays, and I can remember one time, my young family, my girls were very young, probably like 7 and 5, and you know, my wife and I, we just thought we would film Christmas morning. And in my mind, is this going to be this romantic, just kind of nostalgic moment, and the kids will be filled with joy. And plus, all our in-laws relatives weren't with us, so we could videotape the kids opening their present from them and whatnot. And so we roll the film. And don't think like an iPhone or a GoPro. No, this is way back in the day, like VHS tape. And half of you don't even know what that is. And, you know, it's kind of on the bottom of it. It gives you the time and date plastered on the video. And so we start rolling the film, and it's funny, my daughters open up their presents from one of their grandparents, and as they open up, it's like a book. And my girls, like, kids are brutally honest, and they're like, a book? What? Why a book? We want toys, right? And so we're like, oh no. And then it was funny, before we started opening presents, my wife told me, she says, my dad's former wife, she would always buy her present, and she would get her the same present every year, a turtleneck. Well, my wife despises turtleneck. If you're wearing a turtleneck this morning, she loves yours, but it's not for her. Are we good? Right? And so my wife, she opens up this present for my dad's former wife, opens it up, and sure enough, she holds up, what was it? Bam! Turtleneck, right? And she's like, got this sour face, and I'm like, cut the film, right? And let's burn the film. So it's funny, the question, you're gonna hear this question, what do you want for Christmas? But I would like to pose to you a different question. What do you want from Christmas? I think that's the bigger and better question. I mentioned earlier that Christmas tree sales have skyrocketed this year. And the reason why is like, people, we're looking for this holiday elixir, if you will, that somehow we can try to pull like joy, a merriment, just some sense of satisfaction from a tree or lights or presents. And I just want to tell you, if that's all you get is just a moment of merriness or wonder, you've missed the point. Because the point of Christmas is Christ. And so what do you want from Christmas? Because here's what I promise you. Christmas is going to make promises that it cannot keep. But the Christ of Christmas, now he's someone who keeps his promises. And so really what we're going to see today is Jesus, the Christ in Christmas. He's going to solve the two biggest problems that ails the human heart. And no, it's not COVID and will the Jets get the number one pick in the draft. That's not the problem. The problem is bigger than that. And it's the problem of eternity and iniquity. And that's where we're headed this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us grace as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And so point number one, if you're a point taker, is this, is eternity. Is eternity. If you remember Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, that Solomon is going to say this, that God has put eternity in the heart of man. In other words, Solomon is pointing out to the fact that there seems to be this massive chasm, this hollowness in the human soul and in the human heart. And here's what tends to happen. During these holidays, the Christmas season, we become hyper aware of the emptiness, of all that's lacking, of the hollowness of our heart. And so you can trace that all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. Remember, Genesis 1 and 2, God creates this beautiful creation. He sets Adam and Eve in a garden, and God walked with humanity, and there was this beautiful relationship. And then Genesis 3. Humanity sins against God and we're thrust out of Eden, and it left this God-sized hole, this chasm that only God can fill. If you can join me in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, Paul's going to say this. Paul even says that for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, that there's this deep longing in the creation, in us, and in nature all around that longs and waits to get back to that place of Eden. It's the place of longing. And here's what I know is that that advertisers have done a great job of taking advantage of that longing in the human heart. They prey on it at this time. And so tell me if this sounds familiar. It's like you feel lacking, empty, something is missing, you don't know what it is. And so what's going to fix it and make everything right? A Lexus in your front driveway with a massive bow on it, right? Well, isn't that what they tell you? But listen, now that would be an awesome gift. Don't get me wrong. But here's what I know is that sooner or later, that Lexus, it's going to get old. You're going to dump a coffee in it. It's going to lose that new car smell. And suddenly it's just going to become your car. See, it loses the ability to captivate and to fill the chasm of your soul. Some of us, you know, advertisers are going to be like, hey, you feel lacking. There's something missing in your life. But good news, he went to Jared, right? And so, like this engagement ring or something, that's just going to make everything right and fill the chasm of eternity in the human soul. And it's just not true. Like, it might be awesome for a minute, but here's what I can testify, and I hope my wife's not watching this, but that engagement ring that just filled my wife's heart with joy, do you know, eventually it just kind of got boring, and so we had to reset it. And then we had to reset it again and again. Why? Because it loses its ability to captivate and to hold us. Hey, maybe for some of you, hey, what's going to fill our heart and fill the emptiness in our soul? A puppy. Notice I didn't say a cat. Rather, a puppy is going to do it. But the reality is sooner or later, that puppy is going to become a dog. It's going to cost you money. It's going to pee in your house. All right? And so it can't hold you and captivate your soul. It just can't. And so Christmas, it promises things that it just can't fulfill. How about maybe you've experienced this, like a longing for family. Christmas will play on that deep, pure longing for family, be it the Hallmark Channel or whatever Christmas show you prefer, because it taps into that deep longing to be reunited with God and back set in family, whether it's A Wonderful Life. This past week, I watched Family Man. It's Nicolas Cage is in it. I detest Nicolas Cage, except for this movie, because it's about this man who just discovers that true joy is not money and cars, but it's experiencing like this deep love and affection found in family. My wife watched me, she came up, and I'm just crying, bawling as I'm watching the thing. But why? Because it's tapping into something deep. But here's what you know is this, is like, though we long for this perfect family, can we admit families are far from perfect? Like, listen, we can romanticize things in our mind that this is the year where our kids aren't going to fight, and this is the year where Aunt Judy is going to finally apologize. And if your name's Judy, but you should apologize. And but here's what we know. It's just there's going to be some kind of drama. The only thing family has known from Genesis 3 to today is drama. And so Christmas, it makes promises it just can't keep. How about like I've been watching a little too much Hallmark Channel recently, and so, but it's the same story over and over and over again. Like a guy meets girl, you know, they finally fall in love, they get together, and they finally kiss at the end, and then the credits roll. I just wish what they would do, they need to keep the camera rolling, because in any true relationship, a Genesis 3 relationship, what you're going to find out is this guy who was the one, you're going to find out he has issues, that he's kind of a mama's boy and likes video games a little bit too much, or you're going to find out this girl who was the one, the perfect one, you're going to find out that she's a little bit of a nag and nothing you do is ever going to be good enough, right? And so I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer this morning. What I'm trying to do is keep us from putting our hope in something that can never, ever deliver. See, our hope needs to be in the Christ of Christmas, who always keeps his promises. And so what are you really after? What do you want from Christmas? Like, do you romanticize this perfect Christmas past where everything was great? Or are you fantasizing about this utopia in the future? The reality is the past wasn't that great and the future might not be that much better. But what you long for is something that we go back to Genesis 1 and 2. You long for the Garden of Eden, to walk with God. C.S. Lewis says it this way: if I find in my heart a longing that nothing in this world can satisfy, he says, maybe I was made for another world. And the reality is you and I were made for a Genesis 1 and 2 world. We were made for Eden, the garden of God. The Apostle Paul, he'll say it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says it this way. He says, for we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan. And here it is, he says, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We long to get back to relationship with Almighty God. We long to get back to Eden. And so what do you want from Christmas? So see, Christ is the only one that can fulfill the deep chasm of eternity that God has set in our heart. And so let me ask you this. Like, do you have Christmas traditions? Like, I hope you do. We have them in the Burt House, and things that we adhere to every year, and to get outside of these things would be to violate deep values in the Burt household, in our souls, if you will. And so, like Christmas morning, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be up before everybody else, because that just always happens. And, you know, I'm going to get my coffee. And the first thing, like, everyone's allowed to look at their stockings first thing in the morning. And so, you know, you can do that. And so slowly each person gets up and they get to celebrate what they got in their stocking. And so that's pretty fun. And then what'll happen, we get Cinnabon each Christmas morning. And so so you know Cinnabon, it's got like a week's worth of calories in one bun. Yeah, that's the one. And so but my girls, they love that Cinnabon thing. And so I know I have about an hour window till there's a sugar crash. And so we go from the Cinnabon to we gather around the tree, and then we pray and we give God thanks for his goodness and the gift of his son Jesus. And then we start ripping into presents. But there's an order. We always go from the youngest to the oldest. And I always like to specify that Elizabeth, my youngest, she goes first. And my wife, Susan, she goes last. I'll let you figure out why. Okay? And then from there, I need to let you into my last little tradition is this. Susan and I, we like to give each kid and one another, we get one wow gift. One wow gift. You know, that thing that you get and you're like, whoa, it moves you and you're like, oh, it was more than you had expected. And so we like to do that. And last year, I wanted to get Susan this wow gift, but it was out of stock and it was back ordered. And so all I could do was give her a wrap it and put a picture of it in a box. And so what she got was a picture and a promise of a wow gift that was coming to her. And that is the Christmas story, that through Christ, he fills the chasm of eternity and he gives us a picture and a promise of what one day is coming, that he's going to reconcile back to himself, and one day we'll be restored back to the garden of God. And so Jesus fulfills the problem of eternity. Here's the second thing Jesus does, is there is the problem of iniquity. Iniquity. And so in Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And so, that Isaiah is talking about this idea of iniquity and sin, and it separates us from God. So here's my continued premise, that the Christmas is going to make promises it cannot keep, and Christmas is going to lie to you, because everything you see on TV is just going to tell you that you're awesome, that there's nobody on the naughty list, that everyone is intrinsically good and you're amazing. The only problem with that is the Bible, because the Bible would have a very, very different view of you and of me. See, Jesus is going to say, you're not good. In fact, he says that there's no one good but Almighty God. In fact, I think at one point Jesus says, if you know how to give good, if you being evil, I think he used the word evil, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kid, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? And so why don't we just put that on a Christmas card? You're evil, right? Merry Christmas, all right? But let me show this in display. It was funny, my children, when they were very young, like 4 and 6, we couldn't get them to sleep in their own beds, and so they'd be kind of scared at night, so they'd want to sleep together. And so my wife and I would do what every good parent would do. We would spy on them to make sure they're staying in their bed and going to sleep. And so there's this one moment, my two daughters, 4 and 6, are laying in bed together. They're facing one another. And my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, she looks at her big sister in her eyes and she says, "Cassie, I want you to know I really, really love you." And Cassie, at this moment, my wife and I, our hearts are melting. We're high-fiving each other about what amazing parents we are. And then my oldest daughter looks back at my youngest daughter, and Cassie says this, "Lizzie, I really love you too, but your breath stinks. Would you please roll over?" So a little bit of a buzzkill in that moment, and swing and a miss for us as parents. But I feel like that illustrates really well that it is the stink of sin that separates us from God. That Isaiah uses the term iniquity. The word iniquity, here's what it means. It means to be bent. And so we have this, that we're born bent. There's this, do you like my props for you this morning? Is that we're bent away from God. And that's what iniquity is, to be born bent. That King David will say this, that in iniquity, I was conceived. I was born in iniquity. And so you might not agree with that. You might think that kids are angelic and all that. But I would just say you probably haven't had one if you think that. So I think let me use this illustration to prove my point is there's a pastor friend when I first moved to Manhattan to start our church in Manhattan. His name is Pastor Dave DeGarmo. Not sure if you're watching, Dave, but Dave had he had a small tribe of people. He had a very large family, and his youngest son, I believe his name was Sam, He was traveling with Dave and I, and we were riding the New York subway. I'm not sure if you've ever done that. This is pre-COVID, so it was kind of packed. And Sam was being the youngest, he was always vying for attention. And so he started playing the clown in the subway car, and he noticed that everybody was watching him. And so he was enjoying all the attention until finally people got distracted and stopped paying attention to him. And so what he decided to do was to get up. And do you know the big pole, the big silver pole in the middle of the subway car? He grabbed a hold of that pole. He looks at his dad, and his dad says, "Sam, don't you dare, son." And that kid grabbed that pole and he licked the pole like it was a lollipop. There was a collective, "Oh no," gasp in the subway car. And it was just like, especially in this COVID day, it was like, you can't imagine that. How's that kid still alive, right? And so he licks the pole and everyone shuddered at that. But you know, the reality, if we were to be honest, that there's humanity. Listen, we do things that people would shudder if they knew about, that we would be embarrassed of and ashamed of. See, little Sam did it in front of everybody, but many of us, we just have our licking the pole moments. We just kind of do those in secret and in hiding. Why? Because there's something bent inside of us. And the good news is Jesus has come to fix the iniquity, the bentness of our life. And so, do you know that our bentness, it causes us to sin. And so when we sin is just it's an archery term. It literally means to miss the mark, to miss the bullseye. And so we know what God is asking of us, but yet we do other and we miss the mark of God's standard. And honestly, of our standard of ourselves, we miss the mark. And so in the book of Romans, Paul's going to say this, that the wages of our sin is death. In other words, we've earned something. There is an accounting for sin. And so if this will help us in our day where everyone's kind of blowing up their credit card debt right now, is, you know, you can go buy, you know, a bunch of things at Christmas and get into credit card debt. But here's the reality, the sad truth. Eventually, you're going to have to pay that debt. And so sin works that way, that we're actually storing up the wrath of God upon us as we commit a sin through by iniquity in our life. And so here's the deal. Eventually, we have to pay that debt. But here's the sad and scary truth. You and I have nothing to pay with. Like, some of you have this idea of the scales. You know, if my good outweighs the bad, and so you just figure if I just need to balance it out with some good works. A couple problems with that. Number one is that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. And number two, that God says our good works are like filthy rags before him. Uh-oh. Like, if our good works are like that, we're in trouble because we have nothing to pay with. And so what can we do? Nothing but receive the goodness and the grace of Christ that we find at Christmas. Like Christ solves the problem of iniquity. You know, in your Old Testament, there's just the promise of a Messiah. It's the Greek word Christos, or the Anointed One, or the Christ, that he's coming. This Christ is coming to save and to rescue us from sin. If you've ever seen a Marvel comic movie, do you know that the creator of Marvel Comics was a guy by the name of Stan Lee? And do you know that Stan Lee, that the Marvel comic movies, they've grossed like $17 billion in the last 10 years. $17 billion. Because why? There's something inside of us that longs, that are searching for a hero, for a savior. And here's kind of the cool thing, if you're familiar with the Marvel Comics franchise, that you know this, that Stan Lee, the creator, he actually wrote himself in to several of the Marvel comic movies. And so you can see him make these brief cameo appearances in Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain America. See, the creator wrote himself into the story, and that's the story of Christmas. that Christ, the Christos, our hero, our creator God, he writes himself into the story, into our story. Jesus would live the perfect life on our behalf. And then he would go to the cross. He was actually paying your credit card debt in mind, the debt for sin. And as he hung on the cross, do you remember the last words of Jesus? He yells out with a loud voice, "It is finished." Do you know, in Greek, it's actually one word. It's the word tetelestai. Jesus cries out, tetelestai. And what that means, it means it is finished. That in Jesus' day, when someone owed a debt and that debt was paid, they would stamp on it one word, tetelestai. That Jesus, he pays the price for our sin at the cross. And so Jesus doesn't stop there. Do you know that after he pays our credit card bill, if you will, on the cross, on his cross, that he also sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And what the Spirit of God does, he does this. The Spirit begins to straighten out the iniquity in our heart. And he not only makes it straight, but then he begins to bend it towards God. That we incline our hearts towards God. That suddenly, that you and I, we start to love what Jesus loves and hate what Jesus hates. He bends us toward himself. And so what do you want from Christmas? I pray it's not just a few lights, a few presents, and you just want to have a moment of joy, because Christ offers something much, much deeper than that. He wants to solve the problem of eternity and iniquity. Last story before we close. So a couple years back, my family and I, we were really geeking it up during the Christmas season, and my wife bought tickets for us to go into Manhattan and we'd see a Christmas concert by Brett Eldredge. He does a lot of the tree lighting singing and stuff like that. He's really kind of hit that Christmas genre. And so I remember we went in to this theater. It felt like it was a billion degrees. And to be honest with you, I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to be there. It was hot. It was crowded. I was packed into a little chair. And so I was just waiting for it to get over with. Bah humbug, right? So pray for me. But I do remember at the end of this concert, Brett Eldredge did something different. He says, I was wondering if you would help me with something. He had all the musicians put down their instruments. They put down their microphones and they dimmed the lights in the theater. And he just asked, "Would you join me in singing this song?" And then he began to sing a cappella, "The First Noel." And in that place, suddenly everybody began to join in. "The First Noel." And I don't even know all the words to it, but I do know this. It was like the presence of God filled that space as we all began to sing together of the first Noel, the first song of the coming of Christ. And then the show was over. And so listen, that was a great, great moment. But greater than that moment is the offer of Christ. Because while there was a first Noel, here's what I know for sure. There will be a last Noel. And this time, that when the lights dim, that really will be the end of the show. And the promise of the gift of Jesus Christ to fill the gap and the void of eternity and iniquity will be removed. And that gift will no longer be offered. And the last Noel will be sung when the skies ripped open. And the angels sing. It can be found in Revelation 11:15. It says, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" And here's what I want to offer to you this morning. I want you to be there in eternity. What do you want from Christmas? Listen, if you want the Christ of Christmas this morning, he's available to you. If you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just going to take a moment to pray. And listen, you can do one of two things. You can repeat after me, or you can just say amen and receive that prayer of salvation from Jesus. And so would you join me? Jesus, I thank you for coming to earth, for living the perfect life, and paying the debt for my sin. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my heart, fill the void of eternity, and handle the iniquity, and make me love you like I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey, and Merry Christmas. Two quick reminders that if you're in need of prayer for anything whatsoever, we have our virtual prayer counselor waiting for you on our Facebook live feed at 11 a.m. So you can join us there. And as well, if maybe you're new to Every Nation New Jersey, you'd like to speak with a pastor, or maybe you have questions about the message today, that you can join us on our Every Nation virtual hospitality. There will be a Zoom video conference call, and you can speak live and in person with a pastor on staff. And that Zoom number will be available immediately following this broadcast. And so God bless you. God thinks you're amazing, and I think you're pretty good too. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.